The first reading is Isaiah chapter 23, verses 43 verses 16 to 23. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again.
Vaughan, is it possible for you to start again? Because yes. we can't hear you at the moment.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Yes.
This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again.
Unfortunately, Vaughan, we can't hear you.
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear us
now? No. The church can't hear you. What should we do? Do you want... Okay. Thank you, Vaughan. We've got a technical problem here. Can you hear us?
Yeah. I hear you fine.
Okay, we can't hear you. So what we do is I'll read the first reading and Helen will read the next. Isaiah 43, 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, and because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim his praise.
The second reading is taken from John 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining on the table. Then Mary took about half a liter of water, pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus's feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why was this? Why was this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Is what a year's worth of wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will also always have the pure among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And just a quick prayer for Ian as he comes to unpick those for us. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words that you've given Ian. And we ask that our hearts, minds and bodies receive the word that you want us all to receive. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. On the church notice board, just outside our churchyard here, is a Bible verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here in our reading that Tim read just now, Isaiah proclaims the word of the Lord Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Are those two things contradictory? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Forget the past. Now I'm doing a new thing. I don't think they are contradictory, actually, because all through Scripture, God's nature, his qualities, his character, his values are unchanging. And that means we can rely on his promises and nature. The gods of other nations were more fickle and mercurial. You were never quite sure what to do to please them. But we read in Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. And therefore you, O Israel, are not consumed and destroyed. This God is a rock, reliable and secure. But the world changes, as we're seeing on our news every day, aren't we? New rulers coming to power, history moving on, the political scene shifting. And God is always doing a new thing, a fresh expression of his grace in every generation. So Isaiah in that reading reminds the people of the Exodus. The Lord is he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Isaiah is saying, yes, he's the same God who did all that for you, his people. But nevertheless, don't look back, look forward. He's still sovereign over all the nations. He's still powerful in the affairs of humanity. That's what I think the Bible verse at the entrance to our churchyard is saying, that Jesus, who you read about in the Gospels, who did miracles, who God raised from the dead, still that same Jesus is alive today and working amongst us, his people, and in the world. But God's doing a new thing. He's moving in a different direction. Do try to keep up at the back of class, I think he's saying. Go with God. Follow where God's leading. This week, we visited the Chelmsford Museum in Oaklands Park. We've been there before, actually, a number of years ago. But now it's been refurbished with new displays. And there was lots to see, too much for one visit, to be honest. There was something about Chelmsford from the Ice Ages to the Romans and the Normans and so on. There was a bit about Oakland's house and the family who lived there. There was a section about nature and the Victorian fashion for display cases with stuffed birds in. There were two large rooms about the Essex regiments and the Essex yeomanry. And there was a big display about Marconi and the early experiments in radio. No new things, no new discoveries particularly, but it was all presented afresh with touch screens and interactive displays that clicked on when you entered the room and so on. And actually two of those displays projected images of actors onto the wall, telling the stories of the house. They were dressed up as historical characters, acting it all out, and it really brought it to life. It's something we've seen similar projected stories, actually, at Dover Castle and Audley End and Bletchley Park and so on. I'd love to see something similar, actually, in churches. If a rambler, you know, walks into church midweek, into the building, into the empty church, and I'd love to see something switch on the wall and a character, you know, explain the story of the church and the gospel and so on, maybe acted by covenant players or riding lights or something. It's the old story, but it's presented afresh for each new generation. And that's what Isaiah is saying, I think, that God's doing a new thing. What was he doing afresh in Isaiah? Well, in the immediate future, he was bringing his people back home from exile in Babylon. But in the longer term, he was rescuing them from spiritual exile. They'd been away from God. They'd been faithless to God. And God was bringing them back to himself. He was sending them a saviour, a true servant of the Lord. And this servant would be truly obedient to the Lord, doing his will, even to the point of death. Today is Passion Sunday, the beginning of the 2 weeks of Passion Tide, turning our attention towards the passion or the suffering of Jesus, and of course coming to a head on the cross on Good Friday. And this is when Isaiah's ultimate prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus declares later on in John chapter 12, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." It was on the cross that he did his greatest work. And so our reading that Helen read in John 12 starts with a time stamp. It was 6 days before Passover. In other words, it was Passion Tide. Jesus was conscious of moving towards his death on the cross. And he recognizes when Mary anoints him with this perfume, he recognizes how prophetic that is, that it's the sign of his death and his burial that's soon to take place. But as Mary did that, as she poured out this fragrant perfume, it was also her worship, costly worship, priced very accurately by Judas Iscariot, the treasurer, priced at a year's wages. Just think about that for a moment, equivalent to, I don't know, perhaps nearly £40,000 today, whatever the average wage might be. And that's quite challenging, isn't it? How much do we devote to Jesus? What is our worship worth? Even if perhaps we give a tithe, a good proportion of our income to God. But Mary, like the poor widow with 2 coins that she put in the temple treasury, Mary had given everything, 100%, not just 10%, 100%. She'd poured it out over her Saviour in his time of need, in his hour as he approached his suffering. And Judas had a go at her, criticized her for this prodigious waste. But Jesus defended her and stood up for her. I have to admit, I thought of Will Smith standing up for his wife, actually. Jesus said, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." You will always have the poor among you. A simple statement of fact from Jesus. Tearfund used to have an advertising slogan, "We won't stop until poverty stops." And it sounds very missional, very visionary, doesn't it? While there are any imbalances between people, the trouble is there are always going to be rich and poor. And of course we should try to alleviate poverty, as Tearfund are doing. Statistics actually show that that is gradually happening, that Tearfund and others are winning. In Britain and elsewhere, inequality is increasing, but the proportion of people in absolute poverty is reducing worldwide. That's great news. Now, Judas focused on money, didn't he? That was his thing. The ridiculous waste of expensive perfume. And our society today is similarly obsessed by material things, by money, by consuming efficiently and effectively and getting the right price for things and so on. It's the economy, of course. That's what our society tends to almost judge as its highest value. But what Jesus is bringing us back to in Passiontide is the purpose of his mission on earth. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God to take away sins and to redeem us and bring us back to God, back from exile, from time away from God, to reconcile us with our Creator, the Almighty. And for doing that, for laying down his life as a sacrifice, he deserves our worship, heart and soul. He deserves that we pour out everything as we worship him. Amen.